The Laughing Trees by M.C. Chambers. Once more, the people of the vineyards and the nomads of the forest met in the open glade. They set out their wares, but until the children had heard all the old tales and the midday meal had been shared, they traded nothing except gossip. Rissa loved the old tales, but she was too old to sit with the children. She was nearly a huntress now. She had only to make arrows of her own. She slung her bow across her back and nudged her nomad friend, Annarelle. "Race you to the mother tree." The nomad girl grinned and leapt away. Rissa sprang with her, step by step. Last year, Annarelle had won, but Rissa had grown longer legs since then. They ran this race every time they met for as long as they could remember. They passed into the shade cast by thick, rough-barked boughs, hurtling toward a glimmer of light at the crest of the slope. There, six giant trees stood in a wide circle. Their crowns did not quite meet. Sunlight danced down and twinkled upon the dim damp at their roots. Rissa reached the circle first. Soft moss hid the remains of a vast stump, wider than any tree in the forest, crumbled now nearly back to earth. Rissa's grandmother told that the mother tree, who once stood here, had spoken, asking to be felled so that the seedling surrounding her might have light enough to thrive. The trees surrounding the stump had certainly thrived. Their girths were as wide as six hunters abreast, though still less than half of what their ancestor had been. The girls laughed as they caught their breath. "Well done," said Annarelle, "but I want a rematch. I wasn't expecting you to get tall in 1 year." Rissa straightened and lifted her chin. For the first time, she stood higher than her friend, but only a bare inch. "I wish I could have come last fall. Everyone stayed home because of the war." "We weren't here either. We went to stay with our grandparents north of here." Rissa rolled a shoulder against the quiver across her back. "I hope to finally master working with flint this summer. I've practiced what your uncle showed me, but I haven't gotten the knack of it. I can shoot as well as any of the huntress maidens, but a real huntress makes her own arrows." Annarelle shrugged. "A real huntress uses whatever they have." "I need better tools, a good antler to flake the stone, like the ones your people use." Annarelle pulled an object from a pouch. "I have one I can trade. What will you give?" It was a knob the length of her hand. One end was smooth and rounded. Rissa had seen nomads knock points from stones with little effort using just such a thing. She searched through her belongings. The pouch on her belt held a bit of money, but the nomads did not trade for money. Her flute, her bow, her mother's arrows. She needed all those. She raised her wrist. "How about this arm guard? I got this from a traveling tradeswoman who was looking for bargains from my family's vineyard." Annarelle stepped back.
"I will not take that. It has copper on it. Copper comes from the people who attacked us."
Rissa removed the arm guard and studied its intricate design. She found it elegant, but if Annarelle was right, and its material originated with the enemy, she wanted no part of it. She threw it past the trees. She looked back at the antler. She was embarrassed to use her mother's arrows while the other girls made their own.
"I have nothing else to trade. What if I race you for it?" Anaril's eyes narrowed. Tell you what, if you can get the trees to laugh, I will give it to you. Rissa looked up at the somber giants surrounding them. These trees? Any trees? It had been a long time since Rissa had gotten any trees to laugh. When she was small, she sang silly songs and occasionally got a chortle. When she was older, she tried telling jokes that never worked. Her grandmother told that the forest used to laugh at the swooping flight of certain birds, so she tried movement. Once, when she followed a graceful pivot with an abrupt hop, she heard a guffaw. 3 years ago, she and Anaril together had played spinning statues and had gotten some giggles. But the last 2 years, nothing. Not a snort. These trees seemed too tall, too distracted to notice her. Rissa peered past them into the forest. A ridge of rock rose from the undergrowth. A few bent trees grew through and around the rocks. Their limbs leaned close to the ground. Let's try those. The girls left the hilltop. Both had learned to walk quietly and to listen as hunters, so their footfalls were as whispers. Birds of torment cried harsh calls and were answered by kin deeper in the forest. Though the summer was new, the foliage on the upper branches of the bent trees looked yellowed, and yellow leaves lay all around them. Rissa kicked the toe of her boot through the litter. Fallen leaves in summer? That's odd. Anaril placed a hand on one of the trunks. What's the matter, friend tree? An acorn plopped at her feet. She picked it up. A thread of light trickled from the branches, down the bole, and across the ground to the tree beside it. Rissa reached to caress one of the lower boughs. An acorn dropped nearly into her hand, brushing her as it fell. Rissa picked it up. It was out of season, but looked healthy, plump, with a green cap and golden stripes over its brown shell. Anaril lifted her head as another acorn dropped at her own feet. They are throwing acorns at us. They're like the mother tree. They want their children planted somewhere where they can grow better. But what's wrong with this place? There's no sign of drought, and there are plenty of splashes of sunlight. It doesn't seem so bad. She put the acorn in her game bag to take home with her. Uncle Alon knows a lot about growing things. Maybe he knows why trees would drop acorns early. The bent trees seemed kindly, but sad. They would not laugh today. Rissa sang a brief lullaby instead to comfort them, hoping to make them at least smile somehow behind the faceless bark. From beyond the rocks, three deer rushed toward them. The largest had lines of white along its shoulders. Two smaller ones ran at her sides, their coats smudged with dun clouds. Their fuzzy ears twitched, their dark eyes bulged. Rissa's fingers curled, wanting to reach for her bow. She could make this shot if she were quick, but a huntress of the manor did not take a mother with young. She remained motionless as the beasts raced past and were swallowed from sight by deep shade. The birds of torment sharpened their anguished cries. They didn't even look at us, Anaril whispered. What are they running from?
The girls climbed upon the rocks and leaned toward the valley from which the deer fled. They saw only trees and heard no pursuers. Rissa bit her lip. Have you ever seen a bear in this forest? Or a pack of song dogs? Yes, of course, but not in summer. Why? Rissa wondered if she really wanted to find a bear or a pack of song dogs. But if she wanted to call herself a huntress, she ought to find out what had alarmed the deer. She beckoned to Annarel and loped quietly along the path the deer had run. They hopped over the rivulet at the bottom of the hill and started up the steeper slope on the other side. Every fiber of Rissa's body thrilled with vigilance. At the summit of the slope, boulders lay scattered like gnawed bones of some giant primordial kill. From this vantage, they saw over the crowns of trees into the next valley. The top leaves were yellow. Beyond the valley, upon the ridge of the next hill, they saw bare branches silhouetted against an orange glow. Rissa smelled burning wood. A distant crack sounded, and a flame like a candle burst forth upon the farther ridge. Annarel put a hand to her head. Lightning! But the sky overhead was cloudless. A flock of silver-winged songbirds fled past, chittering. Rissa raised a finger to feel for wind, but the trees blocked all but a sigh of breeze. The tops of the trees agitated with no clear direction. Yellow leaves dropped from their midsections. What green was left on the lower branches hung limp. And suddenly the trees beside her yellowed. Their foliage drifted from them. An acorn fell. Her hands went cold as she retrieved it. These trees, they know they're going to die. That's why they're giving us acorns. On the near slope, a pale glow traveled down tree trunks, paused at the roots, then flowed across the earth to sink into the roots of groves further on. Their leaves drooped and fell. Annarel gasped. No! She bolted down the slope toward the fading trees. Rissa followed her. From the hill across the valley, voices shouted. With a burst of speed, Rissa caught up to Annarel and seized her arm, swinging her to a halt. Annarel, pale with dread, stared wildly into her face. Rissa mouthed her name soundlessly until she stilled. The girls drew together amid the shadowed undergrowth. Strangers appeared on the ridge, warriors, it seemed, with hide helmets and breastplates armored with scorched bones. Disks of polished stone wound around the edges with copper wire dangled from the padded leather at their shoulders. They bore heavy crossbows and bronze blades. Copper gleamed against the leather. One of them reached out and placed bare hands against a tree. An arc of blue light blazed from the fingers. The trunk burst with a loud crack. Flames flashed along its branches. Steam whistled from the wood, shrieking. Rissa tightened her grip on her friend's arm as the nomad girl sobbed. That's when Rissa saw the others. Hidden behind the trees, camouflaged among the rocks, archers crouched, smeared with clay and ashes, with twigs and leaves plastered in their hair. Having spotted one, she soon spotted another, and another, and more. These were the nomads defending their home, Anarel's kin. From the deep shade, an arrow struck the tree killer in the side of the chest, but it only shrugged as a streak of blue light painted its wound. It turned and lifted its crossbow, paying no heed to the arrow still protruding from its side. An archer ducked behind the tree as the bolt drove deep into the wood beside him. The clash of parrying blades sounded. A wail rose. Blue light flashed. The cry cut off short. With its sudden silence, time stopped. All went cold, still. Smoke thickened. Anarel screamed. Rissa roused and pulled Anarel behind two wide trunks rising from common roots. Faces turned toward them. Enemy eyes flashed behind helmets like skulls. Ash-smeared nomads floated like half-seen ghosts. A shrill bird call split the air. The ghosts vanished. As the enemy each moved to a tree, pale light rushed from the boles across the forest floor. Anarel flinched at the crack and boom of the trees igniting. Tears streamed down her face. Why? Why? Rissa peered from between the trunks and, seeing no pursuit, pulled her friend away to another large tree further up the slope. The enemy focused only on burning one tree, then the next. Rissa led Anarel to the other side of the hill, putting earth and rock between her and the destroyers. The nomad girl gasped with sobs. Then a man crouched beside them, covered with cinders. Anarel! Uncle Rauk! She rushed to him. They embraced. Why is this happening? They failed to drive us from the forest, so they are burning the forest. They mean to ruin us and all we love, because we do not bow to their master. Rissa felt frozen inside. People needed the forest. Her people needed more than field-grown grains. They depended on wild foods and medicinal herbs to stay alive. She needed the forest to become a huntress like her mother and her grandmother before her. Anarel's uncle narrowed his eyes at her. You're Rissa, the girl from the vineyards. Why are you here?
It's market day.
He breathed a curse. He released Anarel.
Go, warn them.
Anarel bolted down the slope like a frightened fawn, but Rissa remained.
Go with her, said Rauk.
I have arrows. I shoot well. They're my mother's arrows.
Arrows do no good. Go!
He shoved her so that she stumbled a few paces. He leapt away and vanished among the undergrowth. Anarel was already out of sight. Rissa ran to the bottom of the slope, then stood undecided. She looked back toward the roiling smoke above the hills. She could not just run away. She was to be a huntress. Yet she had seen that arrows were useless. What would a real huntress do to save the forest? An acorn fell at her feet. Rissa looked up into the trees. They were like the mother tree. They wanted their children planted somewhere where they could grow in safety.
She pounced on the acorn and put it in her game bag. A tree beside her dropped too. She scooped them up. In the valley, another fell. She ran to the tree and searched among the undergrowth until she found it. As she placed it in her game bag, a pale light descended the tree's trunk and passed across the earth. Its leaves wilted. She heard another acorn fall close by. She hurried from tree to tree. When her game bag was filled to bursting and her money pouch stuffed, she stood dismayed. Acorns plopped before her and beside her. So many trees! So many future seedlings left to die! What would a real huntress do? A real huntress used whatever she had. She unslung her quiver and with shaking hands emptied it of her mother's arrows. She set the arrows at the base of a tree among the great roots. After a pause, she left her bow beside them. If the forest burned, she would have no place to hunt. If it survived, she would earn another bow in time. But it seemed to her that the trees did not expect to survive. She moved across the valley and onto another slope, gathering acorns into the quiver. At last, she stood listening, but heard no more plops. The trees ahead were bare, dark, their yellow leaves piled in rings around their roots. She stood straight, senses alert. She scanned the hillside for leaf-bearing branches or the sound of something striking earth. All was quiet, but in the distance, splitting wood shrieked. Her stomach grew cold. She didn't recognize this place. She hadn't paid any attention to where she'd been going. She lost her bearings, and Annarelle was not here to guide her. She retraced her steps to the last tree she had visited. From there, she scouted for tracks, but newly shed leaves now carpeted the ways she might have gone. She looked downslope. She might find the rivulet at the bottom and follow it back upstream, if it was indeed the same rivulet that had trickled through the valley from which she had started, and not one of 100 others among these hills. And going back through the valley meant going back toward fire and foes. She climbed further uphill, hoping to spot something familiar. The sky overhead was veiled with haze, confusing her sense of direction, and the wind only wafted here and there, offering no guidance. The trees here were already dead. Their vibrant lives had drained into the earth in anticipation of pain and horror. She heard a voice behind her. She spun, but saw no one. Her breath quickened as her mind raced. She had abandoned her arrows. She still carried a knife, made for dressing game, not for battle. But nothing stirred. She heard the voice again. It said. Still nothing stirred. Rissa tilted her head slowly back and forth, listening. Was it a tree? A tree? Laughing?
Rissa narrowed her eyes in the direction of the sound. One tree still had a glow about its roots, just enough to give a golden luster to the ring of leaves surrounding them. She crept toward it, placing her feet quietly upon the leaves until she stood next to the trunk. She looked up at the branches. Dark, dead, nothing there. She looked down at the roots. They said. As Rissa watched, their light drained from them, flowed over the ground past dead trunks, until it joined the faint illumination at the base of another tree further on. The roots there brightened, its circle of leaves shone. It giggled. Rissa strode carefully to the second tree. "Are you laughing at me?" she demanded, keeping her voice low. She heard another giggle. Then the light at the roots flowed away to gather at a third tree, still further on. This one chortled. Behind her, a bird of torment called, answered by others in the distance. Their strident cries approached rapidly. Soon a great shifting flock flew overhead, a splatter of black against the smoke-choked sky. They fled what was behind and disappeared over the hills ahead. Rissa looked back at the way she had come. Dead branches, smoke, fire, enemies. She was certain that the trees understood the coming doom. She believed that they were offering to guide her. But why were they laughing? Had they gone mad with despair? Was it wise to follow where mad trees led? Cried the tree with the shining roots. Rissa's grandmother had told that the ancient mother tree had once spoken, but Rissa had never heard a tree speak. She had only heard them laugh. Perhaps these trees were not old enough to speak. Perhaps she herself was not old enough to apprehend their speech. Perhaps laughter was the only language they held in common with her. She ran to the laughing tree, and when its luminescence trickled off toward more distant trees, she followed. Rissa stood on the soft, giving moss of the mother tree circle. Yellow leaves blanketed it. She almost didn't recognize it, coming upon it from a direction other than the one from which she had raced since the earliest years of her memory. But she knew where she was now. She knew her way home from here. The smell of smoke was stronger than ever. She clearly heard the crack of the enemy's lightning and the footfalls and slithers of creatures rushing to escape. The massive sentinel trees stood bare now, but a bright glow shone at their bases. They stood silent, without laughter, but still very much alive. Annarelle lay weeping in the center of the circle, half buried with leaves. She struggled to her feet when she heard the rattle of acorns in Rissa's pouches. "I knew you would come here. I didn't mean to leave you behind." Rissa's heart dropped at her friend's tears. "What's wrong? What happened? The traitors?"
"They left. All except your mother, who waits for you still. They packed up everything and left for the vineyards. My father took my little brothers and went with them. My mother left to go get my grandparents and take them away too. Her breath heaved between her sobs. My people are leaving the forest.
As are the birds and all the creatures. At least you're leaving with your lives.
No, no, the forest is our life. We leave with nothing.
Rissa's hands were full of acorns. Every pouch and pocket were stuffed. She carried the children of the trees. But what of the children of the nomads? When new seedlings grew, who would laugh with them? The leaves around and beneath them brightened. Light from the great trees flowed from the roots and onto the girls' feet, enveloping their legs, torsos, arms, heads. Rissa's eyes became saturated with gold. For a moment, she saw only brilliance. The gleam sank into her limbs and her eyes cleared. She felt as if she floated.
Here is the life of the forest, she said.
Or had Annarelle said it? The nomad girl's face beamed, her lips parted, her eyes luminescent and wide. The roots of the sentinel trees were dark now, but their bare branches did not seem dead. They seemed alive, as did the fallen leaves, the nearby stones, even the breeze and the shade, all reflected that which shone from Annarelle's body. The girl turned to her friend.
We must go, she said.
Or had Rissa said it? They raced down the hill as two does, as two shafts of sun. As they reached the clearing that had been the market, Rissa's mother cried out, Rissa! Rissa! I dared not sound the flutes for you, as the enemy might hear, but you returned. Rissa showed her the acorns she carried. I left behind my bow and the arrows you gave me. They couldn't help me. Annarelle held up her palms. The tree's illumination had sunk into her body, but shone through delicate creases in her hands and face. My people are leaving the forest, but the forest does not wish to leave my people. I must give this to them. She pulled Rissa's sleeve. We must go. The three fled. Behind them, doomed limbs awaited churning flames and smoke. Ahead, trees brightened and laughed. Threads of light gambled across the earth to meet them. Rissa raced toward the laughter, immersed in light.